Chav Zayin Teves Siman Mem Vav Alacha Mem Aleph, and we're going to Siman Mem Zayin Alacha Vav. So we're continuing with discussing the bugs and fruits, and the Kitzur teaches us that sometimes they would have these fruits that were preserved in honey and sugar, and on top is really where, on top of the utensil, that's where they would have a lot of these mites. So you have to clean them very well, and even take some of the food because to make sure that there's nothing left in the food, there was no bugs that were in the food, no, none of these mites. Now, if a person cut a fruit, even a radish, which usually is considered sharp and usually has more of a strict halacha, but here, interestingly enough, when you cut a radish and you use a knife and you end up cutting through a worm, delicious. So the halacha is that you just clean the knife and a little bit of the actual radish or the fruit. And from that part, you just peel a little bit in the area where you cut through. Now, normally we would say, when it comes to radish or something that's chavish, sharp, we would be much more strict and maybe the entire food would be awesome. But the reason why here it's different is the poskim say because the actual taste of a worm is assumed to be very negative, and therefore it makes it much more less strict in regard to making the rest of the fruit forbidden, like, for example, if you're using a meaty knife, a fleshik knife. Next halacha is about fish. A few years ago, there was a big controversy, and ever so often, there's a big controversy about bugs and fish. See, here we have it. The kids discuss it already in his time. They used to have in worms found in the brain or the liver or the intestines or the mouth or the ears, especially a type of fish they used to called hecht fish, which I think article says pike. And it is these long, thin worms. So when it's common, you need to check. If it wasn't common, you see that the person could rely on chazaka. He also discusses herrings. They used to have it in the milky part. They used to have different types of worms, and they need to be checked. There's places where on the fish, also outside, and by the snapirin, on the fins, and in the mouth, and behind the gills. So therefore, these small little bugs, insects, and therefore they ran like lentils. He says you have to check. Now this is a very interesting discussion because worms that are developed in the fish technically are permitted, as long as they did not emerge. Again, see this concept. If they stayed where they were developed, halacha is that these bugs and these worms are mutter. However, it becomes complicated when they're in these organs, because then it's assumed to come from water and other places and other sources. And therefore, definitely chatchila, I saw in the poskim Piskachuv's writes to buy kosher fish that was checked. It's even though halacha, he technically could go and get salmon anywhere, you see that there are benefits in regard to bugs. When it comes to, interestingly enough, they used to have cheese. I actually looked up a little bit on the internet about wormy cheese. I don't think most of us ever ate worms that are developed in cheese. As long as they're not disgusting for you, they are permitted. Good question. If everyone else is disgusted by it, so then it won't be so simple because it'll be a din about teshaktsu. But halachically speaking, there's these worms that are developed in cheese. And I saw there's maggots and interesting halachas. In fact, Yaakov Yosef brings down that you could even eat them on Shabbos. There's no netilas neshama. I definitely know that no one, as far as I know, does this. But in any case, the point is, as long as these worms did not move from their original position, which again, is so interesting that we could rely on that and, you know, halachically go from something that's so aser to something that's totally mutter. And as the kids himself right away points out, the Torah warns us about shots, and I mentioned this, that there's kama lavin, there's a few lavin the Gemara Maseches Markus discusses, and it's metamed the nefesh, which means that it contaminates us and it creates a blockage. So certainly that's why a person should be very careful not to be nichshol. Someone asks a question. Here we go into an interesting shaila. When someone asks a shaila to a rav, you're not allowed to go and ask another Moira unless you tell him that you asked a shayla by the first person. Now, the Kitzur doesn't elaborate on that. The Pashmashad is that you have to tell the second Rav, and that second Rav has to go back to the first and convince him. Why? Because it's similar to a neder that the first Rav asked the asker, the person that was asking, and therefore the only way to be able to be okay is if the second rabbi is willing to call up the first rabbi. There's other ways of learning this halacha. But that's the Parshat Shah. Now, Siman Mem Zayin starts the topic of Stam Yenam. So what's Stam Yenam? In the old days, they used to, as Gemara said, Maseches Avodah Zarah, they used to take wine. Many non-Jews used to use wine as a worship. In fact, we use wine in the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But yain was something that was used, and now there was a specific type of wine. It wasn't cooked, and it was chash of a wine. So that's one of the explanations why cooked is not, but that we'll get to in a moment. The point is today, most places in the world, you're not going to find that wine is really sacrificed. So really, any wine that's by non-Jew is called stam yinim, which is an issa de rabbanon, and nevertheless, it's still forbidden. The question really is, the Ramaz Meikol, to some degree, when it comes to hana, means you can't drink it, but whether you can enjoy it or not, that's where there's more leniency. Someone just recently asked me, actually, you had a bottle of wine, can you give it to non-Jew? So the chatchila, we see that the kitzur says, stam yinim bezman hazeh, or touching a non-Jew in our wines. Some say that it's only also b'shtiyah, not b'hana. So here you see that to enjoy and to get benefit wouldn't be a problem. So with the examples that the kids are saying, you're allowed to collect loans with using stam yinim, because that's how you're saving your money. Again, it seems to be any type of loss, not stam, anything that you want to do. So that's why you see it's not such a blanket heter. And the chatchila even says, don't buy it in order to make money. And some are mekel. So the kitzur says best to be machmir. You're allowed to use, make a mechat, meaning a bathhouse of some sort, and use stam yinim for someone that's a chilesh and besakana. Because again, it's using an issa d'rabbanan for someone that's a chilesh and besakana, someone that's not in danger. If you're in danger, you're allowed to use it. Of course, you'll be allowed to use it. When it comes to wine that's kosher that got cooked, that means once it reached the boiling point, and now it lost some of its wine through the boiling, if the non-Jew touches it, it's mutter even when it comes to drinking. And this is a classical halacha. You look on the bottle, you always try to see if the wine is mevusha. Why? Because that avoids any questions of contact with the non-Jew and the wine. Some, by the way, are not only machmir, some are machmir that when the if the bottle was poured with a non-Jew, which is usually what most poskim hold. If you just move the bottle, for example, cleaning lady moving the bottle in the fridge, especially that it was closed, not necessarily that it has become usher. You have to ask a shayla on this, but when it comes to touching, that's when it's a problem. Now, interestingly enough, when Moshe held that once the temperature of a wine reached 175 Fahrenheit degrees, that's 79.4 Celsius, it's already considered cooked, and there's even room to be made even on 165. There was a major thing, Bachleg is also the Telem Arav, how much degrees is considered already cooked enough that it takes away the problem. Wine that you put in what's called la'ana, which is wormwood herb. So even though it kind of changes the wine a little bit, the taste, it doesn't make a difference. It's still considered wine, and therefore, if it's not cooked, it's not going to help you. If you have a cooked item, some tafshil, like soup or something like that, and the wine was mixed in and it's not recognizable, even if you didn't heat it up, it's not going to be also when it comes to non-Jew touching it. Yain mazug, which means to say when wine is diluted and it's a ratio of 6 portions of water and 1 portion of wine, that already is batalia. Now, this is interesting that there's a lot of interesting halachas when it comes to Bar Piyagafen, when you make Bar Piyagafen or not. There's also machlokas with Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Sfaradim actually hold the more machmer. So therefore, in both, and I think once the Ravadi Yosef, I think once they gave him more grape juice or something based on the shiurim of an Ashkenazi, he said, this is water, it makes you hakol. But halacha also applies to Gabi Yustam Yenam. And therefore, if it's already diluted 6 portions, and for sure everyone agrees, it won't become asa when it comes to non-Jew. But yein tzimukim, which is raisin wine, you're pouring water on raisins, that's considered regular wine. Temed, interesting. What is temed? It's basically, they used to pour onto the grape seeds or lees, and they were left to soak. So the halacha is, if it's going to be something that is actually good drinking quality, so it's not going to be mutter if a non-Jew touches it. And that's the halachas for today. Have a beautiful day.